We have to be very mindful of our resources. And so what we do is we play the community ground game, grassroots, and it starts with how we work with our physicians in the community. We have a robust clinical integration program that we started from the ground up when I got to Network Health. We comprised a team, in essence, where we sat down with our providers and we said, look, when we win, we want you to win, but we need to coalesce around what's the right way to be taking care of our members. And it starts with making sure that every member has a home.
Welcome to the A&M Significant Healthcare Voices podcast series, featuring insights on healthcare trends and hot topics direct from industry leaders.
Welcome to A&M Significant Healthcare Voices podcast series. I'm Doris Stein. I'm a managing director with Alvarez & Marcel. I'm in our health plans and managed care group within our healthcare industry group. It's my pleasure to welcome Corinne Dykus-Johnson. She's president and chief executive officer of Network Health to our podcast today. I am so excited to have you join our podcast, Corinne, and eager to hear more about what you do. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Doris, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We know you've been dedicated to helping Wisconsinites and your community for a long time. Tell us a little bit about Health Network and how you began your leadership journey there.
Sure. Network Health has been around for over 40 years. We've always been provider-owned. A group of physicians in the Fox Valley of Wisconsin came together because they wanted to create a better way to support their community and their insurance. They formed a health maintenance organization. And throughout the years, like I said, it's always been provider-owned. We just recently went through another change in ownership. We're now 100% owned by Frederick Health System. My journey to get to Network Health started back in 2016 as the president and CEO. But prior to that, I served in many progressive roles in a hospital system, a Catholic hospital system here in southeastern Wisconsin, Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare. I've been an insurance consultant, and I've worked for a large national carrier at one time. I'm an attorney by training. But really, I would tell you that coming to Network Health was like the perfect culmination of all of my experience in healthcare in regulated entities. And I love being the leader at Network Health. It's just truly, it's my dream job. I have fun every single day, even in the hard days.
That is awesome. Corinne, you have a unique story to share about calling your shot that has not only resonated with many of your employees, but many in the healthcare industry. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. You know, when I was recruited to come over to Network Health on my first day, I thought it was really important that I share with the entire company what I saw as the opportunities and the goals for the company. And, you know, I wanted to tell them a little bit about myself, but I also wanted to tell them what we were going to do together. So I laid it all out on a slide. I said, we're going to be financially viable within 3 years. We're going to have, you know, top rated esprit de corps culture in our organization, and we're going to be a 5-star plan. And, you know, when I laid it all out there, I'll be honest that I probably didn't know all of the tactical ways to make it happen, but I put it out into the universe. I called my shot. I said, this is what we're going to do. And within 2 years, we had a financial turnaround, substantial financial turnaround. We also, within 3 years, went from kind of average cultural employee engagement to be in the circle of excellence. And we've been there 4 years in a row in terms of now we're working towards becoming best in class. We went from the 63rd percentile to the 86th percentile. We brag that we had 100% of our almost 500 employees that completed our engagement survey. So we know exactly the voice of our employees and what matters to them. And then we also hit our 5-star rating. So one of the great things, we've been 5 stars 3 years in a row. This last year was a really tough year. They made it harder. We're the only 5-star Medicare Advantage plan in the state of Wisconsin, and in the country, we're one of 31. So what I say is that, you know, when you put something out into the universe to say, this is what you're going to do, your mindset really kind of really focuses around it. And every decision and everything that you're doing in your work, you start to measure it against that goal, right? And you're always thinking about, is this going to advance us to hitting those particular goals, or is it a detractor? And we've done that as a team through my entire tenure. It's really, we've made some really bold statements about what we're going to be. We've got another big, bold statement. We wanted to get to $1 billion in revenue by 2023. We actually made it in 2022. So I pulled the team together. I said, all right, it's $2 billion or bust. 20, 2030, we're doing it. We're calling our shot again. And it's really fun to see everybody really, really rally around it and their thinking around strategy and tactics around that goal.
Congratulations. That is an accomplishment. Not many health plans can say they are five-star, especially since they've changed. So fantastic. Congratulations. So Karina, as a provider-owned health plan, you talked about it in your introduction. How has your organization differentiated among the many plans that are available? And how does your focus on healthy living that you talked about specifically impact your members?
Thank you for that question, because I really do believe that this is a differentiator. And you know, in our market, I just said we're a billion, we're competing against organizations, 400 billion, 300, 100 billion. And so we have to be very mindful of our resources. And so what we do is we play the community ground game, grassroots, and it starts with how we work with our physicians in the community. We have a robust clinical integration program that we started from the ground up when I got to Network Health. We comprised a team, in essence, where we sat down with our providers and we said, look, when we win, we want you to win, but we need to coalesce around what's the right way to be taking care of our members. And it starts with making sure that every member has a home. They know what provider is going to be responsible. So we started with creating what we call our closed loop primary care attribution. So every one of our members has, if you will, we don't call it a medical home, but they know who their provider is. We have obligations that our providers need to do to reach out to those members to make sure that they're getting all of their preventative care. And we built a whole program around tracking our annual visits, our preventative visits, all of those screenings and the HEDIS requirements to make sure that our members are getting the care that they needed. We share our data with our provider partners. We're transparent. They're transparent with us. We set goals every single year. And our providers who are part of our clinical integration program, when we survey them, they say, number one, we're one of their most trusted partners in the insurance industry. And we have over a 92% provider satisfaction rate because they know when we're giving them the information, they can rely on that and that we're partnering in this. We have many stories that we can tell you where we've identified individuals that have fallen out of the care process, where we've come together, where our chief medical officer has met with the treating provider to sit down and say, hey, what's really the problem here? Oh, well, the patient can't afford their medication. We bring in one of our pharmacists. We have five pharmacists on our staff. How do we find the right medication? How do we do things differently? So when I say we play the ground game on this, we're in the communities, be in the clinics, wherever we need to be to make sure that we're doing the best to ensure that our members have access to the best care. It's in an equitable format that we're providing them the process to get from a navigation perspective to be able to get the care and support that they need. Because we all know healthcare can be difficult to navigate, where to go, right? So we're a trusted provider in that process. We also have a patient navigation system. We've built a whole behind the scenes process where when any one of our members is having difficulty, whether it's getting into a specialty visit, finding primary care, if someone's moved, we joke about it. We call it the bat phone, where our clinicians can call clinicians at the provider site, and we can expedite getting our patient and members into the office where they need to be seen at the right time in the right place, and just make it a much more smooth process, really focusing on health and wellness. Our mission is to build healthy and strong communities, and these are just a few examples of how we do that.
Amazing. And I see this all the time in health plans that the providers don't have the data, they don't have access. So what you're doing is great and really helps in the member. It's fantastic. Corinne, what lessons have you learned in your role that you would like to share with your peers to help improve opportunities and for deserving leaders in healthcare?
Yeah, I would say that the first one is that, you know, in any leadership role, especially a CEO role, it can be somewhat a little lonely, right? And I've done two things to really kind of support me and my leadership and my decision-making. The first one is I have what I call my own personal board of directors. I have people in my lives, former bosses, former mentors and sponsors who have been there for me to be able to reach out to be able to confidentially lay out a situation where I need some advice and counsel on. And they've just been a phenomenal group of people that are committed to helping me be successful. So what I would say is find those people in your career that can do that. But the other thing that I've done is I have an executive coach. I've got somebody that I've been working with for over 10 years. I want to be an elite leader. And by doing so, I have employed a coach that really, she challenges me. She gives me homework. She gives me focus. She is that person who really helps me think about the other perspective of how I lead and how I can lead from a place of high emotional intelligence to be able to ensure that when the team, when we come together, we've built a strong esprit de corps so that there's nothing that we can't do as a team.
Corinne, I admire and respect you so much and what you've done and your accomplishments. I want to thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. Thank you for sharing your experience, your lessons learned, and thank you for those that have joined our conversation for listening to our podcast. And for more information about A&M and to find more of our podcasts, please visit alvarezandmarcel.com healthcare. So again, Corinne, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you, Doris.